We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome, everybody, to the Old Gold Show. With you, as always, I'm co-manager over at HammerandRails.com, Andrew Ledman.
And I'm Casey. Look what happens when the fans get to come to the game. Bartley, Rivals Network, Boiler Upload.
And we're coming to you just a few hours after Purdue's victory in the round of 32 against the Utah State Aggies. Final score, an astounding 106-67. Purdue, a 39-point victory over the Aggies. And, I mean, just incredible from just about the jump. You know, it stayed close for a few minutes there, but my goodness, when Purdue took control, they took control.
Purdue scored 57 points in the second half. Zach Edey and Braden Smith were on the bench with 8 minutes to play.
It's just crazy. I mean, you never would have convinced me that that was how this was going to play out. And every starter was out before the four-minute mark in the second half. It just absolutely crazy.
This played out like Samford came to town again. Played out like Georgia Southern was in the arena. This played out like Florida Atlantic in the wintertime. It's a round 32 of the NCAA tournament, Ledman. Yell that when you assume that someone's going to win like this.
Hold on, I can't hear you.
Solid.
Let's try it. Can you talk now?
No.
Can
you hear me?
Okay, there. Yes. I have no idea what you just said.
So we just start over, I think.
What the fuck? It's doing it. They're...
What's happening? Is it hooking
it
up?
It keeps
to your
kicking
phone?
My AirPods off, and then it's coming out of the speakers instead.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
I wonder if it's because I keep getting text messages.
Mm. Bring that shit on silent like a professional.
All right. Keep talking just to make sure.
Darius Brown, Great Ozabar, Ian okay. Martinez, Mason right. Falslev, Isaac all right, you want me- Johnson.
Now you can shut up. Do you want me to just start all the way over?
Josh Adugie. Yes.
Okay.
Roll your eyes like I'm the problem.
I know. I'm the problem. It's me. I'm Taylor Swift here. Okay. Welcome, everybody, to the Old Gold Show with you as always. I'm co-manager over at HammerandRails.com, Andrew Ledman.
And I'm Casey. Let's do the intro again. Bartley. Boiler Upload.
That's right.
Rivals Network.
Sometimes when you do something twice, it works even better the second time. We'll see if this counts for us today. Purdue victorious in round two of the NCAA tournament, 106-67 over the Utah State Aggies, heading to the Sweet 16. And I mean, this one was about as perfect a game as you can think of for Purdue. I mean, everything went right for the Boilermakers from nearly start to finish. Just incredible.
Purdue scored 57 points in the second half. And yeah. Braden Smith and Zach Edey went to the bench with 8 minutes remaining. Braden Smith played 22 minutes, scored 4 points, no, 5 points, had 4 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 turnovers, Purdue scored 106 points, Ledman. They treated these guys. They treated these guys like Florida Atlantic in the winter, Ledman. Florida Atlantic in the winter. Like they treated them like Utah State came to Mackey Arena with ice on the road.
Yeah.
Matt Painter is yelling about how good teams are in the round of 32, and Purdue treated them like Florida Atlantic.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Shout out to the Rattlers.
You couldn't have drawn this game up any better for Purdue. You get Braden Smith.
Don't get in foul trouble. Braden Smith. Don't break a shoe, Braden Smith.
Is that what happened?
He's Zion DeShoe. He said he has done that 5 to 6 times when he went out with 18 minutes left in the second half. 2 minutes in, went out. He blew through a shoe, Ledman. He blew through a shoe like a car tire in winter in December, like Florida Atlantic was coming to Mackey.
Man, you're really going after Florida Atlantic.
Like Florida Atlantic coming to Mackey.
Yeah, I mean, 22 minutes for Smith, 27 minutes for Edie. That's the dream right there. You get under 30 minutes for those guys, and you win by 39 points. I don't think you could have scripted it much better than that. Everybody came out healthy, no injury problems, no nothing, no moments of fear, no moments of like, oh my God, we might lose this game. Just absolutely incredible from start to finish for Purdue.
Purdue was bad for the first 5 minutes.
I don't know about bad. Their defense didn't look great, and they weren't shooting the ball very well.
Okay, they weren't very good on defense, and they weren't very good on offense.
Okay, fine.
But they played great. Their energy, awesome. Loved it. The missed free throws, loved it. Good way to start.
Yeah. Trey Kaufman Wren played great for the first few minutes there. And most the of the game,
like,
but
he carried the team with 2 and 1 putbacks on rebounds.
Yeah. Scored our first 8 points.
I'm starting to think that
it's first for time for everything.
All these questionable decisions. Like Miles Colvin, all of a sudden he looks great. Like he's doing well in the NCAA tournament. Trey Kaufman Wren, he looks like a problem next to Zach Edey. Ledman, I'm starting to think that Matt Painter might know what he's doing.
I think you might be right. And you had a great post on Twitter about the Miles Colvin
great
thing.
Tweeter, this guy.
Yeah, number one. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember the exact wording of it, but if you do, feel free to jump in, but I'll paraphrase it. It was something along the lines of, to the people criticizing Matt Painter, when you see Miles Colvin play well, you're not understanding that development happens throughout the season. He's obviously a better player today than he was, at the beginning of the year, even of the basketball season, even at the beginning of the calendar year. And that's on Matt Painter and his staff getting him to where he needs to be. It's not a failing of Matt Painter that he wasn't playing earlier. It's a testament to Matt Painter and staff that he's playing now.
Correct. And of Miles Colvin. like putting
yeah,
in the work.
Yeah, of course. Of
something
course.
That I've said on the show that, you know, I've reiterated, I've like written about this year. Miles Colvin has been there from day one. What, he wasn't there day one. That was part of the problem. He wasn't there early right. in the summer because he was on Team USA. Also, probably part of why he wasn't ready right away, because he wasn't there the whole time. True yeah. freshman. Like, he needed time. And I know it's tough because, like, players, I don't know if you know this, but when they're on the floor and the cameras are on and the games are playing, it's the only time they're allowed, the NCAA, it's the only time they're allowed to touch basketballs.
So you know, I really, you don't, I thought you were going somewhere with this. And I was like, is he going to tell me something I don't know?
I'm going somewhere. Like, it's okay. The middle of December and we got a game against Florida Atlantic in Mackey Arena.
Ice on the road.
Ice on the road, Ledman. It's danger everywhere.
Dangerous.
Dangerous. It's just like, I don't want, I'm not going to go as far as Matt Painter. I don't know if we need like sports eugenics, which is what he asked for. In case anyone was curious, Matt Painter asked for sports eugenics.
I got to stop you. For those that have not seen the post-game press conference, somebody asked him, you know, what do you say to the guys who go on Twitter or who go online and say, Zach Edey's just tall? And Matt Painter basically, in so many words, said, you shouldn't cover basketball if you truly believe that. And there should be a test if you're allowed to voice your opinion about something.
Now, to be clear, Twitter. You are allowed to cover basketball if you do acknowledge that he is tall. Like, it's okay to say right. he is tall.
The just is the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay to recognize 7'4 tall. 7'4 tall. That's okay.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to just it.
Correct.
No just.
I'm just saying, I don't know that I'd throw out the word eugenics in any context with a basketball podcast. So yeah, I think the way that Miles Colvin and Camden Heidi as well. But I think it's been way more apparent with Miles Colvin these last, you know, 4 or 5 games, how much he has improved and how much, again, that is a testament to the coaching staff and to Miles Colvin himself, because, you know, we talked about on the last episode, Colvin had what, 8 or 9 did not play coaches' decisions?
Eight. Since the start of January.
Yeah. And so it would have been so easy to hang
eight your head. Times. Since the roads got icy and Florida Atlantic came to Mackey Arena, Miles Colvin was chosen not to play.
Yes.
Like the tribe got around, we wrote names on papers, and Colvin's name was not there.
And we snuffed out his
torch. Wasn't voted. Voted on.
Technically, he would have been voted on to not play. If you're doing Survivor, you got to be consistent, because they write your name and then you get voted out.
Hmm.
So you for him not to play, his name.
So it's a faulty metaphor from the start.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. But I knew where you were. I knew where your head was, and that's the important thing.
You know, so, where they should do a Survivor in the middle of December in the ice in Mackey Arena.
People, I tried. You should. I try to keep this podcast on track. I really do. It doesn't always work. So,
but like the roads in December near Mackey Arena, we are off the rails.
And I think this is a good time. We'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk about how everything just absolutely clicked for this Purdue team against the Utah State Aggies.
The best month of the year is here, which is why you need to know that we are now partnered with BetMGM. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for the listeners and the viewers of the Field of 68 all through the NCAA tournament. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, you can use the bonus code FIELD and you will get up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM, regardless of whether or not that bet hits. Here's the best part. All you need to do is deposit and bet $10 of your hard-earned money. This is how you make it work. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using the bonus code FIELD. Deposit at least $10 and place your first wager on any game, and you get up to $1,500 in bonus bets, regardless of the outcome of your bet. Just make sure you use that bonus code code FIELD when you sign up. Most importantly, we do have some fun stuff coming for the conference tournaments and especially for the NCAA tournament. Bet insurance tokens, college hoops, odds boosts, and what I love the most, a nice parlay boost for anything you could possibly imagine betting on in the NCAA tournament, from odds and getting an at-large bid to Final Four futures to the highest seed to make to the Sweet 16. I'm calling it right now. BetMGM is the king of the prop bet for your March Madness needs. So go download the BetMGM app, use the code FIELD, and sign up today. And while I've got you, a quick request, the best way to support the Field of 68 and our content you get for free is to engage with us. Rate and review the pod, like and share the YouTube videos, tell your friends about us. It helps in a world where the algorithm is king. And now, back to the show.
And we're back. So in this one, you know, Braden Smith gets two fouls early-ish in the first half, goes to the bench. Did you have any concern in that moment that, like, this is the time that Utah State can kind of come back? We need him on the floor. I wonder how long Painter's going to sit him.
Yes, because, I mean, it's silly not to, because, like,
yeah,
Smith is the key cop. Here's what's happening, which is, it's funny because, like, it doesn't make any sense, because if you were to build Braden Smith in a basketball lab and then make the opposite, you would build Miles Colvin. But
I'm going to need more of that.
But Miles Colvin is the substitute for Braden Smith to keep the offense running. Miles Colvin is super athletic, long, shoot first.
Okay.
Braden Smith is the opposite of all those things.
That is true.
But he fills the void in the way we saw it kind of with the Big Ten tournament. When Braden Smith went down with the injury and the offense like sputtered to start, it was Miles Colvin that came in and got the offense looking right, just because he is such a threat. He moves in a certain way. He's long. He fills space and he makes the perimeter dangerous enough to let other guys get into action. And it's been like, it's the first cure that Matt Painter has found for Smith being on the bench that's worked. And it's interesting because, like, it's not – they don't fill the same role at all.
Right.
But it covers up the things, like, you don't need quite as much playmaking around when you add someone like Miles Colvin, because he is so dangerous, because he moves. His defense has been really good.
Yeah.
The last few games. It was really good against Ian Martinez. Struggled. And the biggest thing with that thing, Smith was telling me, like, 8 out of 10 of those plays after he went out – Purdue got a stop on defense. And if Purdue gets a stop on defense, they get going on offense. That's just, it's how it works. It's what it's like to have Edie. But I do think just like having Miles out there, just his creativity, his ability to be a threat on all three levels occupies space. Not in a similar way as Smith, but the effects of it are similar for Purdue's offense.
Yeah, I think that's a really astute point, I would say, because they are such different players, but it is true that you can sub them in for each other and they play different roles and it makes the offense look different. And the offense looking different isn't a bad thing. It doesn't slow the offense down. It doesn't, you know, throw a wrench in the offense. It just works differently. And I think that can be a real shock to the defense. You know, you're taking out your steady All-American honorable mention point guard and putting in a guy like Miles Colvin, who is incredibly athletic, incredibly fast, long.
He's so big.
Yeah. Well, and when you switch from Smith to him, I mean, I'm sure it's even more apparent, his size, but it gives Painter another gear for this offense that really, I mean, took complete advantage of everything on offense today. You know, as we said, 106 points. Trey Kaufman ran his best game as a Boilermaker.
He was really good when Florida Atlantic came to Purdue and Mackey last year.
Oh.
I think that was the game, Ledman. I think it was the game where Edie was sick.
I don't even...
Ledman. I can't. It was meant to be. I don't know what to tell you. Like, he was really good that game. He scored like 22 points.
But this game, obviously more significant.
Florida A&M. I lied. It's Florida A&M, which might stand for Atlantic.
I don't think so.
Trey Coffman Wren had 11 points that game. It's not the game I'm thinking of.
He had a game earlier this year where he scored like 20.
But yes, it was Trey's best game. Like, he was dominant in an NCAA tournament, and he was a problem. He kept him going early. Lance Jones on defense was so much better than he was against Grambling State. That was something like he told everyone in the locker room afterwards, like, I wasn't good. I was bad on defense. And he's been kind of bad on defense a lot more this year than his reputation would say.
Yeah. And especially in the last month or so, it's been a real struggle for him.
Yeah. So, like, he was locked in. He was really good. He made, like, Darius Brown's life very hard. Darius Brown had 12 points. Most of those were late when the game was over.
Yeah.
And if you can get that kind of dedication from Jones, he did pretty good on offense. Fletcher Lawyer was brilliant. 15 points, 6 assists. If you're talking what makes it work without Smith, bring Colvin in allows Lawyer to play in space. Talking about what Colvin occupies, it's pretty much you can't help off Lawyer. And that space is going to exist for him to do good things. He was aggressive, got to the mid-range, got to the rim, found shooters. Just, this was an all-around game for Purdue in a way that probably haven't seen a ton this year. Because you could argue, like, Camden Heidi had one of his best games. Mason Gillis got 2 threes late.
He needed those.
I asked him that exact question, and, like, that's always a, like, touchy thing to say. Because he's I don't think I needed it, but, like, it's good to see him go in. And, like, we've seen Mason Gillis, like, once he gets one to drop, like, he immediately took another one. And part of that was you see one go, and, like, as a shooter, like, that's it's green light when you see it get through. But, like, you don't have a dud anywhere in the lineup.
No.
Everyone did what they needed to do. And Purdue is, like, talk about a solid 8 right now, like 8-man rotation. Everyone that comes in has a purpose and makes the team better.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about bringing Mason Gillison, one of the best shooters in the country, at the four, 50% 3-point shooter. You get to bring that in to go play next to Zach Edey, who needs a double team at all times.
Right.
And then you're talking about bringing Camden Heidi in, who is 6'7", like 210.
An athlete. Another great dunk today.
As an afterthought, 2 great dunks.
Yes. Yeah.
The first dunk, which I had him grade which dunk he liked more, and he said the first one. He's like, definitely the first one. I got us going more. And, like, the power two-step to sky up and grab a rebound with 2 hands, just, like, has anyone ever felt more testosterone in their body than 3, just 2-hand grab, come down, power hop to 2 feet, rise up, dunk.
It's not a feeling I will ever know, but it must be great.
How good must you feel after a play like that?
It's got to feel pretty great.
And then Miles Coleman comes in with like 8 minutes left. Doesn't come in until Smith gets the foul. And like, he just knocks down 3 threes, grabs 3 rebounds. He wasn't rebounding to start the season.
No.
No rebound. That ties his season high, which he's done back-to-back games now on rebounds. And like, he's playing defense.
And that, again, I mean, to go back to the thing we talked about ad nauseum at the beginning, it shows...
Middle of December, Mackey Arena.
Nope. Oh. It shows that he's bought in. I mean, I'm not saying he wasn't bought in before, but he understands, I think, more now that, like, to get minutes, to be on the floor, you got to do the other things. You can't just be a scorer. You got to get those rebounds. You got to be in position on defense. And, I mean, I can't speak highly enough of the ability he's shown as this season has gone on. He's grown so much.
Hustle plays are sometimes miscategorized as effort. Sometimes effort isn't about how much you're willing to give or how quick you're moving. It's, do you have to think about what you need to do?
Yeah.
Do you have to think about where you need to be on a court? Effort comes when you're reacting. And it's not just a physical effort thing. It's, do you know where to be? Do you feel comfortable getting to places? And all of a sudden, the game has slowed down for Miles. Like, yeah. Miles knows where to be on a court now. He knows where he can make an impact. He can go get the ball. Like, all these things, like, that's a complicated Purdue offense. Yeah. And he has had to adjust to it. It's a complicated defense. Like, there's a lot of rules. There's a lot of places to be. And now that it's not thinking as much anymore and he's going out and playing, the results are coming. And all of a sudden, Purdue is a dynamite 18. Like, yeah. Dynamite 8, guys. That roster is loaded. There are, as you said, two All-Americans on that starting five. You can argue a lot of seasons that, you know, we only name, what, 15 All-Americans every season?
Yeah,
give or There's take. 30 guys that are probably All-American worthy. Purdue has two of them.
Yep.
And then now they are starting to have, like, elite role players around them.
Yeah.
Everywhere. And there's no the drop-off has become less and less as the season's carried on. And now you're seeing Purdue drop 100. They didn't score 60 points against Fairleigh Dickinson last year.
Yeah, 58, right?
58 points against 363rd-ranked defense last year. They just put 106-108 on Utah State.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound as impressive when you say Utah State, but that's a good
That was a good that's a good team. That was a Mountain West champion. Yeah. And you know, you talk about the going eight deep. I mean, remember it was just a month or so ago, maybe even less, that we were talking about we're not getting anything from the bench.
Correct.
We're hoping that Gillis can come in and hit a couple threes. Other than that, we weren't really getting anything. And now, granted, I know, you know, everybody played in this game. They cleared the bench, but it's still, I think, important to look. The bench was 7 of 13 from three. Big. That's over 50%.
Big if true.
Yeah. They were also 3 for 3 at the free throw line. Didn't miss one there. So 7 of Purdue's 11 threes came from their bench. That's a really great tool to have. And it is a complete diametrically opposed to where we were about a month ago and when we were concerned about it.
Yeah, and like Camden Heidi is attacking closeouts now. He's talked to me, like a lot of people have told him, you're a little too passive out there. And so it's a thing. He's trying to be more aggressive. When he gets ahead of steam, when he sees the rim, who's getting in the way, Ledman?
Not me.
Like a storm in the middle of December, who is getting in the way, Ledman?
I'm guessing the Florida, whoever.
Florida Atlantic's not getting in the way. They're getting swallowed up by it.
Florida A&M. Are we going with A&M, who it actually was? Or are you going with Atlantic?
We got to stick with Atlantic.
Okay. Well, they're coachless now.
That's rude.
Well, they lost their coach, right?
That's rude.
Okay. I mean, isn't it Florida Atlantic? It's Dusty May, right? And then now he's gone?
No, you're right. Yeah.
Off to Michigan. So he'll be our problem now.
Oh, this whole time I've been insulting a tournament team.
Yeah. I wondered why you chose Florida Atlantic.
Yeah, I was thinking of Florida A&M.
I thought the whole Rattlers. Time. I was like,
the Rattlers. Yeah,
but we'll just let it go. No, and it's the least important part of the podcast.
Also, Florida Atlantic lost to Northwestern, who doesn't have two of their starters, so.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Well, you know, Florida Atlantic kept Indiana State out of the tourney, so...
They did.
Do they deserve... Our patience or proper identification?
I think it's also wild to point out that Zach Edey had 21 points in the first half and wound up with 23.
Yeah, so are we scored... the problem? We go this whole way and haven't mentioned Zach Edey yet. And
he scored
23 and 14.
Well, but he only scored 2 points in the second half and Purdue expanded their lead.
He didn't need to.
Right, but it's crazy. And if you'll indulge me just for a minute, there are numerous online popular personas, whether they be through any number of misogynistic, white male-centered websites, who have decided...
Are they named after things you sit on?
They are. who have decided that Zach Edey and Purdue are not fun to watch, that they're unwatchable, that he's just tall. And if he was anywhere else, no one would care. And Purdue fans are just have lost their minds because this is not watchable basketball. Shove it up your ass. I don't care. Ooh, this is the stupidest. This coming is the stupidest argument I've ever heard. The argument, I guess, comes down to the fact that Purdue plays a center, unlike a lot of teams in college basketball.
And they throw him the ball.
Yeah, we give him the ball, and we play a center dominant basketball because, I don't know, we have a guy who's the 2-time National Player of the Year, and suddenly because he gets fouled, it's unwatchable basketball. I don't know what these guys are doing. I don't know what kind of clicks they're chasing. I don't know what kind of money they're going after, but I hope it's good, and I hope it helps them sleep because they're just lying.
I'm sure Jägermeister helps them sleep. Fireball? Not a fireball.
I don't mind if you disagree with and you say, I don't think this style of basketball can ultimately win them in March. I think they'll need more from their guards. I think they'll need more, whatever. That's at least a cogent argument that I can engage with. But you just sitting there watching this basketball game where Purdue scores 106 points in the second round of the NCAA tournament and tweeting through it, oh, this is awful. This is not fun.
How many free throws did they shoot?
Purdue shot 23 free throws.
How many did
Utah State shot 16?
That's 37, right? 31? That accounts for the lead? 39?
No, 39 point difference. No,
yes,
no,
it had to be.
No,
it's the only reason Purdue wins.
Yeah. So what I want to say to those people is, again, just shut up. Just shut up. It's old and tired, and you're not clever. You're not smart. You're not making any point that shows you know anything about basketball.
You also had an object placement suggestion.
Yes, I did. I did. And tell that, you know,
tell them again. They might have forgot.
They can just shove it up their ass. Yeah. I don't care.
Yeah.
It really is like to go back to what Matt Painter said after the game. It's we've become accustomed to just people being talking heads and saying things that are outrageous intentionally. And these are coming from people who know more about basketball than I do. Like in full disclosure, I mean, I'll just name him now because it's obvious who I'm talking about. It's Mark Titus. And he played at Ohio State. And I use play in quotes, and I'm sure he would as well. But he walked onto Ohio State. He helped greatly with their, camaraderie in the locker room. I'm sure he was a funny guy. He wrote a book that I read. Funny.
Here's
really
the issue. Funny. If you work at Barstools, you are contractually obligated to steal someone else's stuff.
I guess.
So Mark Titus just, stole other idiots' stuff. And now he has
Aaron Torres. He stole Aaron Torres's stuff.
Torres!
It's just, I don't know, man. You know better than this. You do. You know better than this. You're smarter than this. And the fact that you continue to shill out this absolute bull says to me that you don't really care. You don't. You are there to get attention and drive web results and clicks. You're not actually there to discuss basketball. I would prefer to discuss basketball. They don't want to. And that is a shame because we are watching a generational talent who is guiding his team back from last year's absolutely, rock bottom for the program, losing to a 16 seed. He's carrying them back, and these people pretend like it doesn't matter and it doesn't care because he's tall, and it is absolutely there is nothing more infuriating in college basketball Twitter and talk than this.
And now we get to discuss basketball in Detroit on Friday night as Purdue takes on Gonzaga in the Sweet 16. Also, shout out Gonzaga. 9 straight Sweet 16s is unbelievable. Yeah.
And it's incredible. And the fact that Mark Few has stayed around at Gonzaga after, I'm sure, teams have just pulled up to his office with dump trucks full of money.
Mark Mini is what I say.
Yeah, that's Mini right. And that's, we have always said that. You know, you may call him Mark Few. We call him Mark Mini.
Mark Mini.
And I know this has been pointed out numerous times online, but how crazy is it that Purdue's trip to the Final Four and to the championship game could literally be the same three teams they played in Maui in the exact same order?
Kansas? No, they lost in both.
Yes, they
lost in both instances.
So we're going to play Gonzaga in the Sweet 16. We win, we very well could play Tennessee in the Elite Eight. If we win, we very well could play Marquette in the Final Four, which is the exact same three teams in the same order that we played in Hawaii.
Are we sure they're not writing this?
I think we might be in a simulation.
Okay. Because I think that's our final thought.
Yeah. We're in a simulation. And if it is,
I hope the script
let's hope Purdue
great.
Wins it all. Yeah. I hope we get a Hollywood ending. And I will watch it when it comes out. So for Casey and myself, we'll be back midweek to talk Gonzaga and Sweet 16. Till next time, folks, boiler up.